Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From outdoor shades for relaxing in the yard to blackout shades that help your newborn and your family get a good night's sleep, Blinds.com is grateful to be part of your home. To say thanks, we're inviting you to our friends and family sale with up to 45% off site-wide, plus doorbusters. Ordering custom window treatments online doesn't have to mean sacrificing style or service. Shop the latest styles of curtains, shades, shutters, and more. Need help making a selection? Blinds.com's design experts are always available for free consultations. Need help with measuring or installing? We've got you covered there too. Plus, there's no hidden fees or misleading quotes, and no showrooms or retail markups. See for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Shop our Blinds.com friends and family sale now through October 12th for up to 45% off everything, plus doorbusters. Save up to 45% site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Suicide is something that affects all of us, and we can all play a part in saving lives. Make a difference in your community by walking out of the darkness with us on Saturday, October 22nd at Arena Green West. Help spread awareness and understanding. Send the message that help is available and raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Find a walk near you at afsp.org/walksfbayarea.
Bear down, baby. Yes, sir.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
With your hosts, David Hahn.
I want to remind people, there is no award for coming to the conclusion fastest on a quarterback in your football city. Nobody remembers, and frankly, nobody cares.
And Dan Weider.
Particularly in this town, we start to get the extremes trying to outshout each other, right? Those who think that he's a bust are trying to outshout those who think that he's going to be an absolute seven-time All-Pro.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to Take the North, the podcast that covers all things Chicago Bears. I'm David Haw from 670 The Score, along with Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune, who covers the Bears. He's at Hallis Hall. Dan, this has been a week of regrouping and preparing and getting ready for a big challenge on Sunday in Minneapolis. The Vikings, they're very good. They're 3-1. The Bears, 2-2 and reeling a bit.
David, I'm a big believer in vibe, right, in a building, and it's one of the things that you can get from being around every day. And the word you used a minute ago is very telling, regrouping. I think it has felt like a regrouping week here at Hallis Hall. And in some ways, that's a good thing. In other ways, it's the first time that this team has been shaken a little bit, in my opinion. And now they've got to figure out what to do with being shaken. And so now it's up to them to respond in a division game on the road against an opponent that's beatable, but that is certainly going to challenge them in a lot of significant areas to be at their best to pull off an upset, right? And so the Bears have to figure out what to do with this. They're going to go into this game without one of their captains in Cody Whitehair, who has been placed on injured reserve since you and I last talked. They look like they're going to be going into this game without Jalen Johnson, who still has not returned to practice with the quadriceps injury. And so now you've got a lot of things stacked against you with an already thin deck, I guess, and we'll see how they respond.
So let's set the table for what we're going to do today. We're going to look ahead at the challenge for the Bears Sunday against the Vikings in Minneapolis at US Bank Stadium. This is the Take the North podcast. You can get it on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You want to download, you want to subscribe, you want to be here all season long, because this is a big year in the development of Justin Fields and many other things that they haven't forgotten about, as we heard from Luke Getsy today. And we'll get into what Luke Getsy had to say. And Dan, I think as we continue to look at and gauge the progress of a quarterback, there's some other things going on. Let's start with some of the details. You mentioned Jalen Johnson missed practice again. His quad is maybe more than day-to-day that Matt Eberflus has described it as. You look at him as maybe being unlikely. Tough week to miss with Justin Jefferson on the other side. But Bears offensively got a little bit of good news. I felt like it was encouraging. David Montgomery, limited, he returned to the practice field.
He did, and we had an opportunity to speak with him after practice. He said he felt encouraged. Anytime he gets a chance to practice with his guys, he feels encouraged. Certainly the way that injury appeared when it occurred against the Texans led you to believe, uh-oh, you know, this looked pretty bad. Let's see how quickly he can respond to it. To David's credit, he's back fairly quickly. I think they want to see how this thing responds in the next couple days before they make a decision. He may be one of those kind of Sunday morning, put it through the paces on the field on Sunday morning and make a decision there. But at the very least, it's trending in the right direction, and David feels good about it, and that's good news for the Bears.
Let's look at that secondary situation without Jalen Johnson, because I think, yes, there's one thing to face a team without your best cornerback, and it's the Texans, and it's the Giants, and they have no passing game to speak of. It's quite another to face the weapons that the Vikings present in Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Kirk Cousins throwing them the football. Who will try to fill in for Jalen Johnson? Will still be Jalen Jones, and who does that put the burden of chasing Justin Jefferson around on?
Yeah, listen, you're still going to have your cornerback trio of Jalen Jones, Kendall Vildor, and Kyler Gordon, and then you're going to have to use safety help from Eddie Jackson and Jaquan Brisker to account for this passing attack. Now, listen, we heard from Alan Williams on Thursday afternoon, and it was almost like he was playing some reverse psychology with the Vikings, knowing how dangerous Justin Jefferson is. Look, this is probably the most balanced offense the Bears have faced since the season began, with a team that can hurt you through the air and on the ground. And so there were a lot of questions, predictably, about how do you contain Justin Jefferson. And Alan Williams was saying, listen, the Vikings have our stat sheet. They understand that we struggle to stop the run. And so until further notice, they're probably going to run it down our throats. And I don't know if that was just kind of a, hey, you know what? Please try to run it at us, because we don't want to have to account for Justin Jefferson with the secondary we have, or if it's just an honest acknowledgement of, oh boy, we know what our weaknesses are and we know what teams are going to attack. Either way, it's not an ideal situation for a reeling Bears defense to go up against an offense that can test them.
I looked it up this morning during the Mullen and Haas show. Dalvin Cook's career high, 206 rushing yards. That's in jeopardy of being eclipsed Sunday against the Bears, because they're giving up 183 on average, and they have given up more in the past couple weeks. So this is an opportunity for the Viking offense to build some momentum and to continue to grow. All right, let's look at the offensive line for the Bears, because that's a mess as well. Lucas Patrick played everywhere during practice, according to Luke Getsy. We heard about Cody Whitehair. He'll be out for at least four games. Dan, when you look at what Sam Mustipher has done, or at least the game that he struggled through last week, he would be, to me, the most likely guy of being replaced. At the same time, I don't know what else you do in terms of depth. What do you expect on the offensive line Sunday against the Vikings?
Educated guess says it looks exactly as it did when the game ended in New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. Lucas Patrick as your left guard, Sam Mustipher still as your starting center, and Tevin Jenkins at right guard. They're going to have to find some answers to the interior of this offensive line quickly, because you need to give, and we'll get into this more later in the show, Justin something to trust, right? And a quarterback who's trying to develop pocket presence and pocket poise has to trust that his pocket is going to be clean more often than it's not. And so they've got to figure out answers there. They've got to do it quickly. And on Sunday, they're going to face a 3-4 defense led by former Bears assistant coach Ed Donatell, who's going to play some of that bend don't break style with a lot of, you know, too high safety. You put the shell on the top of the defense and you try to get the Bears to dink and dunk their way down the field, and hopefully they make a mistake somewhere in there. And so along with kind of trying to keep the pocket clean, the Bears are going to have to retain patience and understand that this is going to have to be a methodical, grindy type game for them to do the things they want to do offensively.
I like the symmetry. We have Ed Donatell, the former Bears assistant, being the defensive coordinator of the Vikings, and you have Alan Williams, the former Viking assistant, being the defensive coordinator of the Bears. Two guys very familiar with the other franchises, very much on the spot Sunday. Okay, the last little detail to address before we move on to other things. When you look at the wide receiving corps for the Bears, N'Keal Harry activated this week. He has 4 weeks to become part of the mix in terms of being part of that receiver corps. Do you think that he will be up on Sunday? Because he's a big target that can help a struggling quarterback, maybe because he's just a wider catch radius. But what do you expect out of N'Keal Harry on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't expect him to be active on Sunday. I think, look, this guy's missed 2+ months of practice. He's coming off of ankle surgery. It's not just an ankle sprain. And so I think both physically and mentally, the Bears are trying to get a better barometer of where he's at. Is he moving around with the fluidity that they want? Is he capable of establishing timing, right? And understanding what his roles are within an offensive system that he hasn't had a chance to practice in for a long, long time, since the very early parts of training camp. So I wouldn't expect him this week. It's obviously good that he's back at practice. I would expect, and this comes from inside the building here, some offensive reps for Bayless Jones, right? Nice. Who's another guy who's coming back off of a long injury and obviously only played on special teams against the Giants. And so you'd think a handful of offensive snaps for Bayless. They understand that this guy was drafted on day two because of his explosion, right? And now you've got to tap into that explosion. If it's a jet sweep, if it's a bubble screen, something, get the ball in his hands and see if he can give you some of that explosiveness that the offense has sorely lacked.
Let him do that silly play the Packers ran, where he runs just behind the center. They flip him the ball. It goes down as a completion, and he runs for 15, 20 yards. You give Justin Fields a little bit of confidence. You pad his stats, and maybe Bayless Jones can get going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that kind of stuff at this point, right? There is a confidence game that needs to be played with multiple players on the Bears offense, and you've got to be conscious of that as a coaching staff to try to get some of the mental momentum building so that the physical success can sustain itself.
I'm Maggie Steffens, 3-time Olympic gold medalist and current record holder for most goals in the Olympic Games. Training for the Olympics, it can get so stressful. It's nice to be able to just enjoy the water. It's my happy place. When that happy place is ruined by trash, it makes me sad. If we don't dispose of our litter properly, it affects our precious waterways. Don't drop trash and make sure plastics get in the right recycling bin. Please do the right thing to help keep our highways and waterways clean. Visit cleanwaterca.com.
Brought to you by the Caltrans Stormwater Program.
All right, let's start our opening drive.
It's time for the opening, the opening drive.
All right, Dan, so it's got to be about the quarterback. It's always about the quarterback, especially when you have a quarterback who's getting as much attention and scrutiny as Justin Fields. I think that the way that it was best described, and it was you today, and you sort of referred to the shouting matches on again, and it feels like the extremism has returned, if it ever left at all. In the context of a quarterback that has completed 34 passes and missed sacks 16 times, I fear that it's going into two different camps. One is that the Bears are totally negligent and fully responsible for stunting his growth by not giving him an offensive line to protect him or receivers to throw to. And then I fear there are those that believe that, you know what, he just hasn't done the basics and he can't even complete a short pass, so it's more on him than it is anything else. When in fact, I would believe and offer that some of the former is true, some of the latter is true, and the truth, as it often can be found, is right in the middle in that gray area.
Well, I've had some moments this week that caused me to ask a question that we can sort of flush out here on the program. It's, is Chicago ready for the next 3 months, right? Like, the first month hasn't gone well, right? It's been an uneven performance from the second-year quarterback, Justin Fields. It's been an outcry of supporters trying to overshout the detractors, who are trying to overshout the other supporters, who are trying to overshout the detractors. And look, like, we lived this with Mitch Trubisky. We lived it with Jay Cutler. You rewind all the way back to Rex Grossman. At least when we were talking about good Rex and bad Rex, there were actually good games on Rex's resume to say that's good Rex. We haven't had that from Justin, right? Like, we haven't gotten there. And so his supporters are digging in on a foundation that isn't there, right? And then the detractors feel momentum. They go after him. To your point, internally, here at House Hall, inside this building, they understand that there are 13 more games left in the season. Ideally, Justin starts all 13 of them. They make progress along the way. There are flashes of brilliance that offset some of these slump, you know, extended stretches of failure, and you get somewhere closer to a middle ground here. But I don't know, aside from Justin, whether our audience, whether the Chicago Bears fan base, has enough left in their sort of emotional fuel tank to get to the end of this.
I've wondered the same thing, and I don't think that they feel like they're rationing any sort of perspective. That's the thing, is that, you know, when we look at this as kind of in our roles, as we're not fans, we are the unfan. We're trying to be objective and rational and take the long view of this. When I think that, you know, that's our responsibility, I feel like, to provide context on a weekly basis. It can be, you know, frustrating for people to hear, well, you know, after four games, you don't want to conclude anything. And criticizing is not, you know, concluding. And I think you have to always remind people of that, because it sounds somewhat redundant. As a fan, you can react however you want to. You can be however irrational you choose. But I think what we're trying to reinforce is that it will take more time. And to that end, Dan, I think that what we heard on Thursday from Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, which is a lot of people will look at what he said and they'll read the headline or they'll read the quotes in a story and maybe not hear the way that he said it. I just feel like when he talked about, he tried to say it wasn't a bad month for Justin Fields. I know what he was trying to do, but let's listen to Luke Getsy when he was asked about, and the question included the framing of putting it, this has been a bad month for Justin Fields, and this is the way Luke Getsy responded.
I don't think he's had a rough month. I think he's gotten better each week. I think he's growing tremendously, and you know, it's not easy. We're playing good football teams, and it's not easy to become, you know, the level quarterback that he wants to become, and I know that he can become. And the important thing is that we stay focused, we keep our eyes on that progress or on that process, and we make sure we get better each and every week. And I believe that we're in that phase.
You were there, Dan. What was your reaction, and how did you process what Luke Getsy said there?
So, I think that the offensive coordinator was trying to offer a public vote of support for his quarterback, right? And to maybe project something that he doesn't fully believe, right? I don't think there's anyone in the NFL that would look at what happened with this Bears offense in the month of September and the first weekend of October and say that wasn't a rough month. I mean, Justin is 32nd in the league in completion percentage. He's 32nd in completions. He's 32nd in passing yards. He's 32nd in passer rating. By any statistical measure, that qualifies as rough. And it's also rough with the way it has looked. Now, I think some of Luke's points were that there are a lot of things around Justin that are creating some of the inefficiencies in the offense. And we've detailed it here that there are problems with the receiving core. There are problems with the offensive line. There are sometimes problems with offensive approach in various areas of the field and various parts of the game. And so there is a bigger picture here. I would just say that you have to be very careful at this stage of projecting too much of that, right? Stuff that people will see as either disingenuous or flawed, right? And so that particular soundbite is the type of thing that's going to get traction and it's going to get legs. Now, I will say this, David. Luke, in his press conference today, was openly critical of several decisions Justin made. He was openly critical of several throws Justin made. He was openly critical of a run that he made where he ran, as we talked about on our previous episode, right into a defender when he had room to the outside to gain more yards. And so that helped kind of balance what he said about it not being a rough month, but I think people are going to cling to that. How can you say it's not a rough month? What are your eyes seeing and what do we do with this?
And I think he also, you were there and I watched it. He corrected somebody, or he interjected when they asked him about Justin Fields only completing 50% of his passes. He said, well, it should have been less than that because there's 6 to 8 plays where he should have thrown the ball away and took a sack.
Yeah.
So I don't view the totality of the way he has approached this as any coach in denial. I looked at it a different way, maybe, and I don't want to sound like Luke Getsy's apologist, but I think that he is taking the long view because he has to. He's saying things that he knows he has to show support where other people have quickly abandoned Justin Fields, which is within their right as a fan, which is within their, you know, job description as a commentator, columnist, analyst, or talk show host, whatever the case. I don't think Luke Getsy can be that guy, and I think today was an example of that he won't be that guy. And I would liken it to this. when you're talking about, you know, to stay with the whole idea, Luke Getsy, your honeymoon is over. That ended in Green Bay, right? But he is wedded to the idea that Justin Fields is going to be the franchise quarterback. He is married to that concept. The rest of us are just dating the idea. We're trying it out. We're seeing other people. We're like, okay, we're not committed to having to be Justin Fields or bust, or Justin Fields, or, you know, that he has to work out. Luke Getsy, to him, you've got to do whatever you can as his coach, as his mentor, as his support system to say, you know what? We're going to tell you privately you're struggling. Publicly, I've got your back. And this is an example of that, because I am going to do whatever it takes to make this work.
Well, the other part of this that I think was notable, and Luke acknowledged this on Thursday afternoon, is that the outside world looks at this through a different lens, right? And everyone in the outside world right now is trying to answer, is Justin the guy? Is Justin the guy? Is he going to be the guy long term? And internally, Luke is saying, what we're focused on is how can we help him get to a spot in week 18 this year that has shown that he has grown, that he has developed, that he has made progress in many key areas of playing quarterback in the NFL. And so they can't feel that outside noise and outside pressure. Listen, there's got to be an urgency here to enliven this passing game. Everyone would agree with that. But I always talk about that, you know, Kiefer Sutherland 24 clock, right? Where you hear the beeping of every second until the bomb explodes, right? And they cannot have Justin Fields feeling like his career bomb is ticking loudly in his head. And that if he doesn't, you know, turn it around in week five of year two and 2022, that's now the beep is a little bit louder and more shrill, and next week it explodes, right? And so there is something here to soothing the nerves, I guess, and the anxiety and the frustration of Justin Fields that the coaching staff has to do. You don't want to do a lot of that because you want to be able to coach football, right? And you want to be able to get to the nitty gritty of what it takes to play quarterback in this league. Right now, they're trying to get through a rough patch here and having to balance, you know, X's and O's with some psychological tweaking as well.
And I think he's also got to remember that beyond the quarterback, as important as that task is, as much of a priority as it remains, there are other priorities. There are other interests. There are other players that were drafted whose development matters, because the more improvement you see from Braxton Jones, the more improvement you see from Larry Borum, your offensive line, your tight end, your receiving core, whoever the case, that your quarterback is going to improve along the way. So I found it interesting when Luke Getsy was asked about another question about Justin Fields, and he came back and he sounded this way.
We have a lot more than just evaluating Justin Fields going on right now. And I think that's easy for, you know, that's what everybody wants, to evaluate the quarterback all the time, right? And I get it. It's all good. So this is a process for all 11. And so there's so many factors going into what's going on around Justin, to just sit here and say, oh, we're only focused on, is this guy going to be the guy or not? That's literally not even on my mind, or I don't think it's on anybody's mind in this building. We're just in this process of getting better, right? How can we get each guy in this building to get better each and every week? And as long as we continue to get better, then we're going in the right direction, and we believe that.
See, I thought that was a good answer, Dan. I don't know what you thought of it, but I thought that, again, to me, that was a very football, commonsensical response to a question that he knew was coming.
Process oriented, right? Luke is process oriented, and he wants to stay there. You know, I'm going to throw something else at you because I think it's worth bringing up in this discussion, and it's Matt Eberflus's role in all this, right? Like we have spent a lot of time right now talking about Luke Getsy and Justin Fields, and Matt Eberflus is the head coach here. We just came off of four seasons where we knew that the head coach of the football team was heavily involved in the offense and heavily involved in trying to create quarterback success, and ultimately didn't succeed at doing so and lost his job. That's Matt Nagy with Mitch Trubisky and all the other guys that he tried in that role. What's interesting here is Matt, because he's from a defensive-minded background, has almost been sort of stiff-armed to the side of these conversations, right? And no one's talking about his role in these. And he's never had the experience, for obvious reasons, of having to develop a quarterback. And so now I think that as we look big picture with some of this, we have to say, boy, what is Matt contributing to this, right? And how can he assist with that?
I know why you'd ask that. I think the word you might be looking for is absolved. I mean, we have somewhat absolved him of any responsibility here. But at the same time, I don't want to do that because I think that might be, you know, careless, and you don't need to do that because he is a head coach. But I also then, on the other hand, How often do you blame Andy Reid for the bad Chiefs defense? How often do you complain about the Colts defense and then say it's Frank Reich's fault? I think that in the NFL, you have all kinds of examples where guys come to these big jobs and they come from one side of the ball and they hire the assistant head coach slash offense or the CEO slash offense, however you want to describe it. And not that it absolves them of responsibility, but we kind of know what's going on. I mean, Matt Eberflus has the decisions of, do I punt and pin and fourth down with 3 minutes to go? Do I, you know, how do I play complementary football? What decisions do I make? But I don't know that I hold him as responsible for Justin Fields' development as I do Luke Getsy or Andrew Janoco or, frankly, Ryan Poles for giving him the talent surrounding him to get the most out of this quarterback.
Well, I would just say that when you make a decision, right, like the Bears did in January, to go with a defensive-minded coach and you have a quarterback in his second year at a pivotal stage of his development and a guy that you pushed a lot of chips into the middle of the table to jump up and draft, that you better have something from your head coach that can help bring that along. And then that, I would just put that in the back of your head for the next 14 weeks because we're going to have a lot of time to talk about it.
I think you're right. And but then the, not that it's a problem in going that direction, but what I foresee, because I just think we've been here a long time, you know what's going to happen then. The question will then go back to not what is he not doing to get the most out of Justin Fields. The question will be, what in the heck is he doing here in the first place? Why would you hire a defensive-minded head coach when he had a quarterback you needed to develop because you needed to get this right and you couldn't get this wrong? And look, you're wrong again. So as a franchise, the skepticism that may have been suspended temporarily would be back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I say that we're sort of in this. I don't want to say tunnel visioned, but singularly focused world here right now with the 2022 Bears, because there's so little happening outside of the quarterback position that is right. Interesting, notable, or important, right? So the entire conversation is revolving around this on a daily and weekly basis, and it's something the Bears have to juggle as they go through it. Can I tie up one loose end for you?
Yes.
We talked so at length about the four verticals play in our last podcast episode, the play that Justin didn't see Mooney open for a touchdown, ultimately took off and ran for a run. I wrote about that in my quarterback review at ChicagoTribune.com, and we've had more input the last few days from Fields himself, from Luke Getsy, from Andrew Janoco. And so there's a little bit more nuance to this. I'm not going to let Justin off the hook on that play. I'm going to cut him a little more slack than I did in our Monday episode and in my quarterback review, and just saying that, listen, the Bears had coached something all week in terms of either take the check down or run if you see that coverage against that specific play. And so in some ways, he used good instincts. On a third down play, he made sure he got a first down. He saw a wide avenue. Luke Getsy said on Thursday afternoon, if he runs the ball better and takes a better angle to the outside and avoids the defender, that might be a first down inside the 5 yard line. And now we're knocking on the door of the goal line. And we're all talking about this play as a huge play that set up a potential touchdown rather than a missed touchdown. Right. And so there's a little bit to this. And then the nuance is also that, listen, like, Justin right now is thinking a lot and he's playing in a way where the wheels are turning too much, where he doesn't have the freedom of mind, I guess, or I don't know what you'd call it, but the free headspace to see that receiver who's open down the field like you would on a playground when a play wasn't called and you just let it loose. And Andrew Janoco said Thursday evening, look, you've got to be able to listen to your feet. But even when you're listening to your feet and you're doing all the right things that we've coached you process-wise, eventually experience has got to tell you, get my eyes up. Oh, my God, that guy is not covered. He's near the goal line, and I can just rip a shot here, and we score 6 points. And so Justin's got to hit that. There's a little bit more to it than the last time we discussed this play on Monday evening.
He just looks too uncomfortable.
Mechanical, right?
To unleash that kind of athleticism. And I think that's part of the issue. Okay, before we get to where we are on the development meter and move on, in the light of everything we just said, if you had to talk about a reasonable bar for Justin Fields to clear, and last week I somewhat mock you.
Can I read this to the audience? Because I think it's good. And you mocked me, but like it was justifiable mocking. I tweeted this as part of the kind of thoughts before the Bears game that I had on Sunday. And I said, back to Fields for a moment. What about a day today with 14 completions, 170 passing yards, and a TD? Would you sign up for that production and label it as encouraging? quick reply from my good buddy David Hahn, the Take the North podcast, and he said, don't trip over that low bar. And I laughed out loud because you're absolutely right. It is an incredibly low bar, and it was part of the reason I asked the question is because things have been so, so bad in terms of the passing game production in the first month of the season that a stat line like that was sort of like, okay, let's try to get here. Okay, can we just try to get to this weird level of mediocrity, and then we'll celebrate that as encouraging. And guess what? He didn't get to 14 completions. He did get to 170 passing yards. He didn't throw a touchdown. So he failed on two of those three low bar goals that I set for him. And so now what do we do, David? Where do we set the bar for week five?
Well, just so you know, we are all snipers on social media one time or another. So
That's a good shot from you.
I think the bar has got to be low, though. And I think that part of Luke Getsy's rhetoric on Thursday reflected that. And that's not really settling. That's not doing anything but being realistic. And I think realistically, you've got to crawl before you walk before you run. And I think that right now you're at the, okay, let's take that next step. And it involves, I think, 14 completions against this Vikings team, 170 passing yards for a guy that has, 34 passes completed in four games and is the lowest rated quarterback in the NFL, that would be legitimate progress and not the kind of manufactured kind that we've been talking about in Chicago all week.
Well,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And also this, right? Like Justin hits the 56-yarder to Darnell Mooney and everyone sits on the edge of their couch and says, that's it, right? That's really cool to watch. Well, let's. I'm not asking for 56 yards two or three times a game, but let's have three or four plays at the end of a game where we can ask Justin for more detail on play X, Y, Z, what about your second touchdown pass, right? Like, let's get to that level where those conversations can occur, and maybe the tone of everything will loosen up a little bit. Obviously, it starts with producing those moments on the field so that the outside world has something else to talk about other than these numbers that are so staggeringly low.
Speaking of tone, I have to address this before we move on to our next category. At the podium, he was again reticent this week. He was very reluctant to share many details. It seemed like a guy that wanted to be anywhere else but explaining why he's playing so poorly. Cause effect, what reaction did you have to that? I think that before you answer, I'll say this. people have speculated, well, you know, that shows how little confidence he has and how much it suffered. I don't believe that necessarily. I think that he has not lost confidence. It's not about confidence. It's about tolerance.
Right.
I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think he wants to subject himself to the kind of questions from people that can't understand in his mind what he's going through and how big and enormous the challenge really is. And I just think that is more of a reflection of a 23-year-old that is like, why are you guys and everybody else picking on me because you don't know what I'm dealing with?
I'm with you on that. I would use the word agitation, right? And tolerance is a good word as well. And it's something that has to improve because this is part of the role. I mean, we've talked about it more than once, and it's probably a shame that we've had to address this multiple times because it's really easy. I mean, that news conference on Wednesday afternoon was 5 minutes. It's not hard to get in a upbeat mood for 5 minutes, even if it's a little bit false, right? Like just to wall off the critics for a little bit. Don't give them red meat to jump on, right? And so Justin's got to learn that, and somebody's got to help him with that and understanding, look, man, like it will do you no good to get up here and be curt and to be agitated and to show sort of slumped in your seat, frustration outwardly. It's not going to help anything. And so you got to just, you know, for 6 minutes, lock in, right? Lock in and get up there and sit up tall and tell a joke and do some different things. You know, I don't know. Again, this comes back to play on the field. And as soon as the play on the field allows an opening for other questions to be asked, I think some of this will naturally lighten. So step one, go out and make some plays Sunday against the Vikings. Give the rest of the world other things to talk about, and then the conversation will be a little bit more comfortable.
So in light of that conversation on Wednesday in front of reporters, in light of the performance on Sunday against the Giants, our Justin Fields development meter stands at concerned. I think we can agree that it stands at concerned. Didn't really move the needle much this week. Dan, do you agree with where that currently stands?
I do. Needle shook a little bit, right? Like it shook toward worried a little bit more.
Yep.
But I, you know, like we're going to have some evidence here in the next few weeks with a couple unorthodox weeks, right? Like the Bears are going after Minneapolis. They go into a short week against the Commanders, followed by a super long week before they play on Monday night in Foxborough. So there's going to be some different challenges that will test Justin a little bit more, as well as this entire football team.
Fine work on the meter there, Adam Studzinski, our ace producer. We'll hear more from Studs when we get to our predictions in the next segment, the numbers game. Okay, Dan, every week, look forward to this. ChicagoTribune.com, you have a package of numbers that are relevant to the game plan, to what will happen on Sunday. And we're going to hit on a couple of those now. Where do you want to start? Because I think that you could go a lot of different directions. A couple stood out to me this morning when it was published.
Yeah, so I've got four for you. Two of them are going to be linked. The first one is just, you don't even need to comment on it. It's just going to be a weekly update until it gets somewhere. It's 0.77, and that's the number of completions per possession by the Bears offense through the first four games of the season. I'm going to bring this up every week on the show until it gets north of 1.0, right? Like, this is going to become the staple until the Bears average more than a completion per possession. So we don't even need to go any more into that because it is what it is. All right. Now moving on to the paired numbers, I'm going to give you this 15, 291, 2. That is the catches, receiving yards, and touchdown total of the entire Bears receiving core.
Oh my God.
15, 291, and 2. And now we're going to compare that with 28, 393, and 2. That is the catches, receiving yards total, and touchdown total of Justin Jefferson of the Vikings, one man.
Oh my gosh.
Facing the Bears in the entire category.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this brings up my meatball question of the week. I'll use it now because there's many that I could choose from. Does this mean that the Bears should be looking at veteran wide receivers that might have been cast aside on the waiver wire? Tavon Austin. I know OBJ's out there. The rumors, the Packers or the Giants. Is there anybody else out there that can come in? I know N'Keal Harry is healthy, but he's not going to play likely on Sunday. Is there anybody out there to offer any help?
I promise you, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to find a team that's got a chance to play deep into January.
I know.
You said it was a meatball question, so the meatball fans can get their Parmesan cheese and put that question to the side.
Okay.
You know, look, like I'm all for exploring any option you can look at, right? Byron Pringle's on injured reserve. Velus Jones has been hurt. N'Keal Harry's been hurt. Like, you don't have the luxury right now of being selective or picky. You just need to have mutual interest from somebody that wants to come join an offense that's struggling like this. you know, you think back to I guess it was it Trubisky's rookie year where they had that receiving core where I think Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman were their top two targets, right?
Oh, I just had a flashback.
Right, yeah, and it's painful, and that's kind of what we're looking at in a different version here. Look, they've just got to find ways to get things going. And Darnell Mooney had an uptick in production in week four. They needed to uptick a couple more times, and so let's see what they can do there. But man, like the other part of that is Justin Jefferson is really damn good, David. And since 2020, Justin Jefferson has the most receiving yards of any receiver in the NFL. And so they've got their hands full trying to defend him this weekend.
Where have you gone, Josh Bellamy? All right, what's another number that we need to look out for?
All right, here's one more, and it's just a rando. It's a 2006, and it is the last time that the Bears played the Vikings in Minnesota before Thanksgiving. My entire time on the Vikings beat, my entire time on the Bears beat, these games have been either on November 30th or in December or into January. So it's always been a really cold weather trip up to Minneapolis. The Bears go up there. The last time, David, you might have been in attendance to this game, probably were, that they played in Minneapolis at the Metrodome before Thanksgiving.
I remember it too well.
That week three.
The Grossman gets injured game.
No, that wasn't the Grossman one. 2006, Grossman throws a game-winning touchdown pass in the final 2 minutes to Rashid Davis.
That's it. Yes. Okay.
19-16 win that put the Bears, I think they were 3-0 at that point, and they continued rolling. Obviously, that's the Super Bowl season, so good vibes last time.
Didn't Rex get injured there one of those times?
He did. He got in a season opener 1 year. That might would probably 2004.
Image I have of Rex on a golf cart down in the bowels of the old Metrodome, and I remember that well. But I'd also remember the Rashid Davis game in 06. That was a long time ago, because then you got used to going to Minneapolis for the holiday. You had to bundle up, but it was a great trip because you could go to the mall, get your shopping done, and get back, and it's always a fun time.
No sales tax on clothes at the Mall of America.
Bingo. It's such a big bonus. All right, you know what the number is that you introduced? And it's on your list, and I credited you on the Mullay and Haw show, but I was also using it and getting a lot of mileage out of it. 36 possessions since the last touchdown pass?
Yeah.
36 possessions since the last Bears touchdown pass, way back to Equanimeous St. Brown when we broke down how great the play action
pass
was.
That's right. That's what I'm saying, right? We were breaking it down in detail, and we haven't anything since. David, the crazy part about that is, remember, it was like the reasoning was like the Bears passing attack was stalled because they played in a monsoon. And guess what? The game in the monsoon is the only game in which they've thrown a touchdown pass, right? Oh, they threw two of them. So like, at some point this slump has got to break, and we've got to have something else to talk about.
Any other good numbers? Anyone else you want to throw out there before we get to predictions?
No, that's it. And the predictions, I have a feeling, are going to be one-sided this week. But you guys can tell me. And I know Studs, even our homer Studs, is going to have to let us know if he can find faith in his beloved
Bears.
Well,
let's bring in Adam Studzinski, our ace producer, and also who is unselfish there with the shades. His future is so bright. He's got to wear those shades. I think that Studs is very unselfish as well. Kevin Lapka helped out with the Justin Fields graphic, and he deserves as much credit as Adam Studzinski. I gave Adam the credit. Kevin Lapka deserves some too, and that comes straight from Adam. So, Adam, we want to know, who do you predict will win Sunday at the best, I think, best stadium, Dan? I haven't been to SoFi. The best stadium I've been to at US Bank Field in Minneapolis.
Oh, you guys clearly haven't been to Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown State Stadium is pretty great. They call it the Ice Castle or something. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I spent a lot of time covering Missouri Valley football, in case you guys didn't notice. But anyway, you guys know I'm a homer. You guys know I love the Bears. I can't in good conscience pick them to win this game. They're just not the better team. I hate saying that Kirk Cousins is a Kirk Cousins-led team is the better team, but they just are. The offense is going to be too much for them. So I got the Vikings 27-17, and hopefully we just see some progress from Justin Fields, because I just can't see them winning the game.
Okay, Adam Studzinski in the books, 27-17. Dan, I think this could be a rough day for Justin Fields. I think it could be a rough day for the Bears. And I think the concern that the Vikings will be jet lagged because they played in London last week, and the fact that teams coming back from London who don't have a bye week and play immediately the Sunday after are 2-3 means absolutely nothing against this Chicago Bears defense. that they'll be able to run the ball against, and this Minnesota Viking offense, which I think is going to do whatever it wants. And I think offensively for the Bears, they're going to struggle. This could be a real difficult excursion for Justin Fields. And I'm not sure that if he thought last week was bad, this could be worse. I'm not sure how they're going to score a touchdown, but I think they'll score one. I think might score some field goals with Cairo Santos back, Michael Badgley, signed by the Lions, by the way. But I've got 31-16 Vikings over Bears.
Similar margin for me, different score. I filed my prediction for ChicagoTribune.com as Vikings 27. Bears 13. Just to make sure that I wasn't missing something, I reached out to a couple of my writing counterparts in the Twin Cities to ask them how the Vikings would lose this game. I'm going to read you a couple samplings anonymously from these folks in Minnesota about how the Vikings could possibly trip up at home against the Bears. Here's the first one. It says, Cousins throws a couple bad picks, and the defense, which has been run on a few times already this year, can't keep the Bears from making things easier for Justin Fields. So that's one of them. The other one says that the Vikings defense sits back in a passive zone shell and lets the Bears run the ball and helps Fields gain confidence. Donatell has been really soft, but as poor as the Bears are throwing the ball, the Vikings should easily win this one at home. So there's some intel from the Twin Cities. It didn't make me shorten the margin of victory because I was like, man, it's hard to pick a team to lose by two scores in this league. That's where I'm staying, and it sounds like you're right there with me.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a tall order, and I don't think the Bears are ready for that. And I think the Vikings are, you know, better than most teams or have first-year head coaches and first-year GMs tend to be, and they are 3-1 on the verge of becoming 4-1. Let's get to our two-minute drill. All right, Dan, so there's some thoughts I want to wrap up, but I think that this is an interesting matchup. But you go first because I want to ask you about what I just alluded to, the fact that you have two teams that are in similar situations, but this isn't Bears versus Giants. These aren't mirror images at all, and I think there are differences that I'd like to ask you about, knowing your background with both franchises, but there are also some things you wanted to get to.
Well, yeah, the first thing that I'm going to throw out here is just some stuff that we heard from Alan Williams on Thursday afternoon about the run defense, right? We've noted how historically bad it's been out of the gates, and he said, look, there's been a number of different reasons for this. There's been guys that have been slow to fit. There's been poor tackling at times. There's been poor eye discipline. But one of the things that he stressed is that there has been a overabundance of errors in which guys are trying to make plays that aren't theirs, right? Almost overcompensating and not trusting the guy beside them to go ahead and do his job and make those plays. And when you do those types of things, now suddenly you turn a short gain into a big gain and things become problematic. And so it sounded like Alan Williams was hell-bent on getting some of his defenders on defense to understand how to just do your job, right? To talk about the old Tom Thibodeau soundbite, right? Like, just make sure you do your thing and don't try to do too much. And maybe you can keep the Vikings from running it down their throat, in his words. And let's see what they can do with that, because that's going to be a big deal, as we mentioned.
So Kevin O'Connell, he comes in as a new head coach. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is the general manager. And this isn't Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus taking over a rebuilding project that has got a bunch of, excess fat on the salary cap and the payroll, a roster that needs overhauled. It was remarkable to me to look at a little bit closer. The Vikings offense, I think, has one new starter from last year. You know, they have 80% of their production back on offense, and this is just essentially an upgrade in the approach offensively, a little bit more innovation, a little bit different play calling, a little bit different schematically, playing to Kirk Cousins' strengths. Front office-wise, there hasn't been the extent of roster turnover that you saw in Chicago. So I guess, Dan, knowing how the Bears have approached this, knowing what the Vikings are doing, and frankly, doing very well, what similarities or differences do you see? And is there anything that the Vikings have done that the Bears could actually maybe learn from?
Yeah, draft Justin Jefferson, right? Like, have somebody that has that type of game-breaking ability that can change games in a heartbeat. And that's just the difference right now with the Vikings roster versus the Bears one. There's just more game changers. I'm going to give you another one before we sign off on this program to keep an eye on Sunday afternoon. But look, I just think that Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah inherited more, and they're more comfortable with their ability to try to compete a little bit now, whereas the Bears made the decision position, and justifiably so, to take a longer view and tear it down to the studs and try to build from the ground up. And so two very different places after a full reboot in both organizations.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at the talent on hand, and maybe there was more, you know, Mike Zimmer fatigue. Chris Spielman getting getting ousted surprised me back when that happened. So I wasn't expecting that kind of approach to their front office, and so there was just a more stable situation that both guys walked into. And you do wonder in Ryan Poles' heart of hearts, in the back of his mind, how he feels, because wasn't he one phone call away from becoming a finalist in Minnesota?
For sure.
Didn't the Bears prevent him from getting back on that plane and heading north?
That is true, yes. And they made the deal, and obviously Ryan Poles is here now trying to do reconstruction. But yeah, that's another place where Ryan Poles was in demand.
And last couple things. So tidbits around the locker room this week. Eddie Jackson, his resurgence is not something we should overlook. 3 picks in 4 games. He looks like he's a more willing tackler, as we have said. Matt Eberflus gave him some nice compliments. He's just in the right spot at the right time, and this scheme works for him. Anything else you picked up about why Eddie Jackson is playing at such a high level?
Just playing free, and I think that they're – ability to offer him a clean slate when they got in, as cliche as it sounds, revived Eddie. I think that Eddie told us over the summer that when he looked around the locker room and realized that all those, you know, leaders and playmakers from the 2018, you know, high level defense that he was on were gone, and it was now his defense and no one else's. It was like, okay, you know, this comes with responsibility, this comes with accountability, and I better step my game up. He put in the work, right? And I think that's one of the things you hear from both teammates and coaches, is that Eddie really, really grinded during the spring and the summer to do everything that was asked of him. And it's really nice when a guy does those kinds of things and the results pay off immediately, right? Because then it just feeds into that contagious work ethic. And so Eddie's had that going for him. Now you got to sustain it, right? You got to try to turn 3 picks into 4, into 5, into 6. And now all of a sudden you've had yourself a season that's going to get you invited to a Pro Bowl.
If the Bears shock anybody on Sunday, it'll be because their pass rush finally gets revived and Robert Quinn has himself a day under ideal conditions. I don't know if that's realistic, Dan. I think more likely the Viking pass rush is going to be the one that dictates the outcome. Any other tidbits you picked up this week about this game?
Yeah, couple last ones for you. First of all, Andrew Janoco, as you remember, came from Minnesota. So he was Kirk Cousins' quarterback coach in 2021. He was the receivers coach of Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen before that. So if there's anybody in this building that can inform the defensive coaching staff on what makes those guys uncomfortable, Janoco's the guy. So his intel should be at least valuable to some extent as they're game planning this week. Darnell Mooney, we talked earlier in the week about some of the errors he's been making mentally, missing assignments, making some mental mistakes. We had a chance to talk to Tyke Tolbert, the receivers coach, on Thursday evening, and he was very reassuring about the fact that these are going to become less and less as we go along. The fact that they are asking Darnell to play all 3 positions in their receiving core, the X, the Z, and the F, and they're actually making him change from play to play on certain drives. And so there's been some confusion in certain instances where Darnell thinks he's playing the Z, he's in at the X, and it's all based on the personnel grouping that's in the game. So they've thrown a lot at him because they think he can handle it. And Tyke said he's never really had a receiver that they've thrown this much at in terms of the knowing this many different things of this many different positions at receiver. And so they're very optimistic that this is going to be a short-term headache and that ultimately Darnell will be Darnell. So I thought that was interesting because it's something obviously we talked about earlier.
I got to ask you about Kyrus Tonga on the Vikings practice squad. What kind of intel can he offer the Vikings?
Full-fledged hits principle espionage, right? Like that's
it, right?
Kyrus Tonga is going to be able to let them know that. There's another humorous nugget from out here. I have a reputation. I covered the Vikings when Harrison Smith was drafted there in the first round way back when. Domer, this is for our Notre Dame audience. I'm a huge Harrison Smith fan. He's one of my favorite players in the league. He's obviously had himself a hell of a career, and I have this reputation of always asking the offensive coordinators here every year, no matter what it is, about Harrison Smith. Well, I got cut off today, David, in the Luke Getsy press conference. We ran out of time and I wasn't able to ask the question about Harrison Smith to Luke Getsy. Quick thinking by me. Alan Williams was Harrison Smith's defensive coordinator his rookie season in Minnesota. So I got a Harrison Smith question into Alan Williams. He answered it very well and said, there are some guys that the minute they step into the league, you just know they can play. And that Harrison's processing time and his aggressiveness and all these other things have made him into the players he's become. So kudos to me for fighting around a shortcoming and making the best out of it. That was some off-script playmaking that I did in the press conference room.
Will that be used in chapter 11 or 12 of the biography?
That might be closer to chapter 5. It might be higher up, right? All right. Because it details Harrison's early years.
He's had a long career. He has been a lot longer and lasted a lot longer, I think, than anybody anticipated. He's been around forever.
I remember, David, when they drafted him, there was some consternation in Minnesota about, oh man, he's just too slow. And I remember the front office guys and the personnel staff saying the stopwatch time doesn't mean anything when a guy sees things so clearly that he reacts 3/4 of a second before everybody else on the field. We've seen that for a decade now with Harrison Smith, and that's something Justin Fields has got to be aware of, bringing this conversation full circle.
Didn't you cover Randall Cunningham in Minnesota? Weren't you there that long?
I did not. And I was not there either for what Brad Biggs brought to my attention this week, that this is anniversary 17 of the Love Boat, David.
Yes.
So that's a whole different podcast episode that we can get to at some point. Maybe the 20th year anniversary, we can get Fred Smoot and Bryant McKinney on and get some more details of what happened on Lake Minnetonka.
And I would expect nothing less than Biggs to remember the Love Boat anniversary. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us here on the Take the North podcast, episode 17, Bears Vikings Sunday at noon in Minneapolis. You can get us at Take the North Pod on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Download, listen, and this is important, guys, subscribe, because we will be here each and every Tuesday and Friday and on Sunday giving you our reaction after the game Sunday evening. So you want to tune in to us all season long for all things Chicago Bears. For Dan Wiederer and for Adam Studzinski, our ace producer, I'm David Haw on the Take the North podcast. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.